When we think of Christmas, we usually think about Mary and Joseph. We think about Jesus, of course, right? We think of angels and shepherds, wise men. But how about God the Father? Most every father looks forward to the birth of his son. And of course, we love to brag on him, don't we? Talk about what they've done, what they're doing, what they're planning on doing. Listen to some of the things that Jesus' father said about him before he was born. Written 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah 7:14 said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us. Then he said, 750 years before Jesus was born, through the prophet Micah, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over all Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." The Father, again, talking about Jesus, his son. Oh, here's one from farther back. Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. 1400 years before Jesus was born, "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his." That Jesus would be from the tribe of Judah 700 years before he was born, but again by the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 10, that Jesus would be sought out by the wise men. "And that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious." And lastly, from 626 before he was born, that Jesus would be a descendant of King David from the prophet Jeremiah. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land." Just think of all of these things that the Father said about his coming son. He rejoiced in his son, Jesus. Jesus meant more than anything to his father. Mentioned John 3:16, God's only begotten son. We all claim to be the children of God, don't we? The sons and daughters. Adopted into the family of God. But Jesus is God's only begotten son. Different from what we are, because he was begotten of the Father. What was God's experience when he sent his son to the earth? Many times during the Christmas season, we're separated from the ones we love. Isn't it interesting that God, that first Christmas, God the Father was separated from God the Son. Many of our plans have been interrupted this holiday season because of the coronavirus. Our daughter was thinking about coming out for Christmas this year, and she had to change her plans because right now they're locked down in San Diego and they're not allowed to travel. but God being separate from the Son. This is what was known as inter-Trinitarian love. Some people believe that God created us because he wanted someone or needed someone to love. But the truth is, with God being Trinity, God being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there was a love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that made it so that he didn't need love from his creation. He doesn't need our love. He desires our love. He wants us to love him. Those of you that have pets know that kind of love. We didn't need love from our pet Hunter, but we want it. What a discouraging thing it would be if Hunter totally ignored us. Sometimes he does that in the morning. I get up early and it's too early for Hunter. So I open up the door to his crate and he just looks at me like, "What are you doing? It's too early to get up." But then before Mona wakes up, he'll get out of his crate and he'll go and lay by the foot of the stairs and wait for her to come down. He gets so excited when he sees her coming. Just think of the love that your pet has for you. And I think that's what God desires from us. He wants us to love him. He wants us to be excited in his presence. He wants us, and I know we're never separated from him, but when I go home and Hunter greets me at the door, I think that's what God desires from us. He wants us to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul and our spirit, our mind, everything that we are. In fact, that's the greatest commandment. He wants to experience that love from us. So God was separated, the Father from the Son, at the incarnation, even further on the cross, as he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. We need to consider the feelings of God during this Christmas season. Love is one of the attributes of God. And his Son is perhaps the greatest object of that affection. Now he's willing to send his Son into a hostile world. He came, the Bible says, unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. The Son of God would become the Son of Man, so that the sons and daughters of man could become the children of God. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Now is the accepted time. Could be the day of salvation for someone here this morning or someone listening through the internet. Consider that Jesus was unique. All we can say is that Jesus' birth was a miracle of God. Matthew simply records that Mary was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. She was told, "You should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins, and that they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. How did this happen? How did God become a man? How can he possibly be truly God and truly man, as the Nicene Creed states? Fully God and fully man. Listen to what Isaiah said in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of his increase, of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. A child is born. That happens every day, doesn't it? Every moment of every day, there's children all around the world being born. There's nothing new to that. But then to that he adds, a son is given. Birth first from a human perspective. And then the given, speaking of Jesus' deity. A child is born, speaking of his humanity. A son is given, speaks of his deity. Of Jesus' body, it was written in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. God had prepared a body for Jesus. It was not the first time that God had appeared to men. Genesis chapter 3 says, often God met with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. In chapter 5 of Genesis, God walked with Enoch for 300 years until he finally invited Enoch to come home with him. Genesis chapter 12 and the following chapters record a number of different times God met with Abraham, referring to Abraham as his friend. Genesis 32, God met with Jacob and wrestled with him all night. In Exodus, God met to give Moses the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. In 1 Samuel, he woke young Samuel from a sound sleep, calling his name. In Daniel, he walked in the midst of the fire in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He met and spoke with the prophets and the priests throughout all the Old Testament years. God many times in the past revealed himself to people in human flesh. It was as if in the foyer of heaven there was a coat rack. And on the coat rack there was, on a hanger, a human body that God could clothe himself with as he became man. But this was different. This was God the Son becoming one of us. This was God the Son, his glory hidden, his majesty obscured for a few years in order to come and dwell with us. Deity wrapped in humanity. Jesus' being was unique. You can see that in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 and verses 9 through 12. You can read along with me if you'd like. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Nothing. Some people would say that all other things were created. It doesn't say that, does it? It says Jesus created everything. That he wasn't created. That he is God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was the true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. There are so many passages about Jesus, but John 1 gives us the heavenly genealogy of Jesus. Matthew records for us the genealogy of Jesus through Joseph. Luke gives us the genealogy of Jesus through Mary. But John gives us the genealogy of Jesus through God the Father. I had two objections to Christianity before I committed myself to the Lord. The first one was that the Bible teaches that one life can be sacrificed for another. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and a wife for a wife. It's interesting, this morning I was reading in my devotions in the book of Exodus to realize that that was a part of the punishment for someone who took the life of a preborn baby, the life of a child in its mother's womb. But a life would be required for that life. But how could Jesus pay for more than one life? If it was a life for a life, how could he pay for my life, my wife's life, any one of my children's life, one for one? But how about all of us put together, everyone in this sanctuary, everybody who's listening on the internet? How could he pay for us all if it was one life for one life? This would be impossible if his life were the same as ours. If he were just another created being, even the first of all created beings, his life was different. And those questions are answered in John chapter 1. This was God who came in the flesh. God whose life as creator is more valuable than all of our lives put together. Why did he only have to stay 3 days in the tomb? When I, if I had not received him as my Savior, would have to spend my life, my eternity in the tomb, and my spirit in what the Bible calls the lake of fire or hell. Why did Jesus only have to spend 3 days in the grave? It was because his life is so much different from ours. He, as God and as man, could pay the price in 3 days when it would have taken me more than an eternity to pay for my rebellion and my sin against God. He created me. He created you. And because of that, he's more valuable than all of our lives together. And 3 days in the tomb was able to pay the complete price for our sin. We come this morning to celebrate not only his birth, but his death, his burial, and his resurrection. To come to take bread, which he said was his wine, and the juice, he said, was his blood. This little cup, and open the top part to take out that little wafer. Let's pray. In the beginning, O Lord, you created us for yourself. But even though we have fallen through our disobedience to sin and death, you in your infinite mercy, grace, and love sent your only begotten Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to live among us as a man. Born of a virgin, he suffered every hardship and adversity, every trial, trouble, tribulation, and temptation that we face, except without sin. Finally, he stretched out his arms upon the cross in perfect obedience to your will and offered himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Father, we come today confessing our sin to you, knowing that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We come now, having been forgiven, to your throne of grace, to your table of grace, receiving this, your gift, to us. In Jesus' name, amen. On the night in which our Lord Jesus was given over to suffering and death through the betrayal of a friend, he took bread, and after he had blessed it and given thanks to you for it, O Lord, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." After supper, he took the cup, and after he had blessed it and given thanks to you for it, O Lord, he said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of your sins and the sins of the whole world." Therefore, as often as we eat this bread and drink of this cup, we eat the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We proclaim his death until he comes.